Welcome to the very first episode of Stop Guessing, Start Testing, a podcast audio series to help your online business become more profitable through better decisions. Learn how to collect clues from tiny tests so you can grow without relying on luck. I'm your host, Sue McLaughlin. Let's go. Have you ever looked at your business and thought, why isn't this working? Or been faced with a decision and going, what should I do? And then found yourself jumping into something new because you maybe saw it on an email or a YouTube video or an Instagram post? Well, this episode is for you. Did you ever play Guess Who as a kid? You know, that game where there's rows of faces and you flip them all over and your opponent has one of those faces and you've got to ask them a series of questions to guess who it is that they are holding on that side. Who is the one face out of the sea of faces? And you can do it through a couple of different ways. You could just do a straight up guess, like, hey, is it Jim? Is Jim the person that you are holding? But usually you don't, because pretty much guessing is gambling and you don't learn anything if you get the answer right away. It is just pure luck. The better way to win at Guess Who is asking a series of elimination questions like, does this person wear glasses? Does this person have blonde hair or black hair? And then you can eliminate according to the answers. You're gathering information and you are getting clues. The whole idea is that the questions are the game and not the final answer. Obviously, the winner is the person who gets the guess right first, the person who does guess who it is. But what asking those questions do is it reduces uncertainty, it helps you make better guesses, and it narrows your options. And sometimes if you ask the right questions, it can narrow your options really quickly. And as I've been thinking about this as a question-asking person, I am often known as Miss Question because of my relentless question-asking. I've kind of come to the conclusion that running an online business, whether it is selling courses, membership, coaching, you know, any kind of digital product, we're basically playing a forever game of guess who. Our business is a guess who board. And the faces on our board are things like what you're selling, like what type of product, how you're selling it. Is it always available? Are you going to do launches? And if you're doing a launch, what type of launch strategy are you using? How you're getting in front of people, how you are growing your audience, what you are saying in your messaging, how you feel about what you're doing. Do you actually enjoy it and love it? And how do you feel about going through and doing some kind of launch? Is it something that lights you up and you get behind, or is it something that terrifies you and makes you feel really unconfident? Other faces on your Forever Guess Who board are things like what you're charging, pricing, and also what your audience wants and how your audience is responding to what you're doing. Now, the thing is that there is never one correct answer. Everyone has always got a different guess who board, and it's going to be different for every type of business, every type of entrepreneur, different markets, different audiences. And what you need to do is keep flipping the faces down until you get to your answer. Because the next best move is going to be based on all of those clues that you collect and eliminating some of the incorrect answers. Because in this online business world, there are going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of different combinations of the type of product that you're selling, how you are selling it, how to get it in front of people, what to charge, etc. It feels like there is a perpetual sea of decisions and sea of answers that you need to find. And these decisions can feel even harder when the business is basically you are the business. You are selling your information, your consulting, your coaching, your membership product, things that you are teaching. And so these decisions that you're making can feel even more loaded, because what happens if you get it wrong? Does that mean that you are a failure? Not that you made an incorrect decision. Often it can feel like you've done something wrong, like you are not enough. And that loads every single decision that you're making up with a very, very deep sense of fear of getting it wrong. You want the right answer because, especially online business, when you have so many different options, it can feel really daunting. And that's why it's really easy to go into that, hey, I saw someone doing this cool thing in an email or on social media, and you see someone selling a different type of product or a new strategy or a new tactic, and you jump on it because, hey, someone else is doing it. And so that's where you get the certainty from, seeing where someone else has done something. You're like, well, it worked for them, so maybe it should work for me. And what happens is you might try it, but you are not doing any kind of information gathering, or you may not be, about whether it works or not. Are you comparing it to anything? Or are you just changing direction quickly because it feels like that changed direction, someone else's proven blueprint, feels safer than perhaps doing some things to try, you know, resurrecting or improving or doing something different with a product or a launch that you've already created. You might start tweaking small things because it feels productive, but are they the things that are actually going to make any difference? And honestly, it can feel sometimes like you're doing so much work. But when you don't know what part of that work is making a difference, the result is that you can start doubting yourself. You can think you are the problem, or there's some issue with what you're offering, what you're doing. Maybe it's the price. And then you can get stuck in that spiral of what should I do, which is such a loaded question. And if you feel like something didn't work, well, your emotional brain can then take over. But the thing is what does it didn't work even mean? Like if you're saying, well, it didn't work, it didn't go well, but you don't have a goal that you've actually defined, then that can be a problem. Maybe there's an expectation that you had, but you hadn't actually set that expectation. You hadn't worked towards that expectation. And sometimes it's about things not happening as fast as you hoped. But when you're not actually testing things out to see if it can meet a goal, or worse, not even defining that goal in the first place, it can leave you kind of stuck in that place where you are desperately trying to find the thing that works, but not really knowing how to get there. But what if every decision didn't need to be such a loaded kind of pass, fail, test? What if you had a way that you could make business choices with a whole lot more confidence? And if there was no wrong way or failure, you looked at the things that you're doing in your business as an opportunity to collect clues or collect evidence. And that is what happens when you stop guessing and jumping on random strategies and you start testing. Now, that absolutely does not mean overwhelming numbers or daunting spreadsheets full of data. It just means gathering information to help you make better decisions. And that's why I wanted to create this podcast audio series and why I am making my entire business its own series of experiments and sharing that inside the 2026 experiment. Because despite being a business strategist, I have got into some bad habits and have not been as strategic as I usually am lately. I've done a whole lot more guessing and a whole lot letting my emotions be the thing that is running the show, and a lot less reliance on logic and the truth that data gives you. And as someone who is definitely more on the creative side of things and also has a little side hustle of ADHD and being a solopreneur, spending my time on complicated spreadsheets and analytics is definitely not the data and information that I'm going to be going for. Because if I do that, if I go into this experimental year where I'm going to be testing out a heap of things in my business, I tell you what, it'll be really lucky if it lasts beyond that typical kind of 3-week window of the New Year's resolution. I have no doubt the first week or two will be rock solid and I'll be collecting information everywhere. But if you want to make this something that you use in your business ongoing and long term, well, my opinion is that you've got to make it fun. and you've got to make it easy. And that means choosing the right things to track, not collecting so much information and making complicated spreadsheets and spending, you know, the entire month setting stuff up. Like, look where you can start small. Look at how you can use your limited time more effectively. Stop getting stuck in decision paralysis and evaluate the things that you decide to do to test and see how effective they were. And then potentially test and evaluate something else and compare those options. And then do the things that are making the biggest difference. So in 2026, I am going to be looking for clues in pretty much everything that I do. And I'm going to be sharing how you can use clues to make better, more confident decisions in your own business, because clues are the things that you observe that help reduce uncertainty. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of clues, but I'm going to go a lot deeper into specific types of clues during this podcast audio series. But just as a really brief summary, things that can be clues are like looking at visibility, like how many people are actually seeing what it is that you are selling. Because often you can think that, you know, you've got to tweak things on the sales page or change your copy or change your pricing, when maybe the problem is that you just don't have enough people seeing your offer in the first place. Now, what if you do have a lot of people seeing your offer, but not a lot of people are buying? People are clicking maybe on your emails, or you can see that traffic is coming through from social media, but that is not turning into buyers. That is a clue, because something is off in between that interested enough to click through and there's some kind of disconnect into why they are not buying. Now, that, you know, sometimes I've had people come to me where they take that as failure, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, oh, and you can get really emotionally spiraled about it. But that is a clue to give you information to investigate, because you actually know where to look, rather than going, no one's buying, because you are getting the data that you are getting clicks, you are getting people seeing it, they're just choosing not to buy. Now, what about the questions that you might be getting from people, from potential buyers? Like, you might have a lot of people asking, oh, I'm not sure if it's for me, or I don't totally understand what this is, or other questions that keep coming up that you see a pattern. So when customers or potential clients are asking you questions, what you need to pay attention to is patterns and not one person saying something. You might get one person saying, oh gosh, this is really expensive. And if you rush to make a decision on that one person's comment, then again, that can be a bit of a challenge. So what you're wanting to look for, the clue, is a pattern in people's comments. Now, in terms of pricing, I'm going to do an entire episode on pricing, because I think that is one of the places where the emotional connection and your emotional connection, especially if you are someone who struggles to spend money on things yourself, it's very easy to put that view onto your customers and to get tied up in, you know, in money issues that are your own issues. And if people's main response is, oh, I love this, but it's too expensive, it's really important to dive deeper into that and figure out what that actually means, to look for the clues. Now, maybe it could be the price. Maybe it is too expensive. But again, is that a common pattern? Is that the most common thing that you are hearing from people? And if it is that because they don't understand the offer? Like, do you need to ask more questions? Is it that the people who are seeing this, they are not the right audience? They're not at the right, you know, stage of the journey to actually need this. What you got to do, again, is look for patterns and don't jump to conclusions. I'm going to be diving so much more into this, into these specific types of clues and the types of questions that you can be asking in these episodes. But just something to remember for now. The point is not to collect every single clue and every single answer. The point is to collect enough information to answer your next question. And that comes back to knowing what it is that you are trying to achieve. Because if you don't know what you're trying to achieve, it may be difficult to ask the right next question. Maybe you don't know what you're actually trying to find out. And that's why one of the things that I so strongly believe in, and I always encourage my clients to do, and when I am working with a coach and client, I'll always try and work from the end result backwards. And again, I'm going to do an entire episode about evaluating your goals and what it is that you are trying to achieve, and then working backwards from that so that this information gathering can be more useful and give you the information to make better decisions. Because then you're going to spend your limited amount of time, because no doubt you want to be creative and have fun and work with clients, not spend time stuck in spreadsheets. You can spend that time evaluating the clues that can help you decide what to do next. And also something to remember is when you're looking for this information, when you're looking for clues, it can help take you out of that emotional thinking. And it brings you back into logical brain. And when you are focusing on testing things rather than trying to get it right, or trying to pick between two things going, which thing should I do? Or you're trying to find the perfect strategy. Focusing on testing gives you that win of, okay, I've got the information that I need to make a decision. I don't need to defer the decision to someone else. I don't need to ask five people what I should do, because it's giving you confidence in your own business and in the information that you are collecting. And the more information that you collect, the more clues and evidence that you collect, the better decisions that you're going to be able to make, and the less time that you are going to spend making those decisions, which gives you more time to be focusing on the things that A, make the biggest difference, and B, light you up the most. Because sometimes the data side of things is not one of those things where you're like, oh man, this is so exciting and so important. I probably get a little bit nerdy about that, but you may not be quite as excited and inspired by collecting information. So I would very strongly suggest, if you haven't already, hopefully you have clicked on that little subscribe to this podcast, but if you haven't, please do subscribe to Stop Guessing, Start Testing, because I'm going to be sharing a load of information over the next few weeks and months to help you discover things like how to work backwards from a goal so that these numbers that you are collecting mean something. So you know where to even focus, like what numbers to collect. Also, crucially, how to define what good is, or what it worked or didn't work is, without pulling random benchmarks from the internet, from other people's businesses, etc. Because at the end of the day, all that matters is what is good or what works, what that means for you. I'll also look at what specifically to test for different stages of business, no matter where you're at, whether you're, you know, very new to business, whether you're doing a pivot and you're changing offers and you're looking at restructuring things, whether you are you've created products and now you're moving into launching them, and that's the stuck point where you're like, oh, which type of launch should I do? Evergreen, live launching, what type of live launching? How do I get an audience? You know, all those questions that can keep you stuck, or even what to test for different life stages of your product, because you'll be wanting to test very different things when your product is brand new, when you're first launching it, as opposed to, say, when it's been out for a year and you are relaunching it or you're making slight changes. The clues and information that you're looking for are going to be very different depending on how old this product is and how you've launched it before and what information that you already have. I'll also be sharing how you can test one thing at a time to get the most helpful information, because when you try and test five things at once, you don't know which of those five things makes a difference. Also, how to quickly debrief and review all these tiny tests that you take so that you actually know what to repeat, what to tweak, what to stop doing, what to increase doing, how to actually make changes where you actually gather all the data in one place and review a bigger project rather than just a tiny test, as well as little debriefs on tiny tests as well. That is what you can expect in this podcast series, Stop Guessing and Start Testing. And I just want to leave you something for the end of episode one. I've got a tiny test for you. If you've been stuck on any kind of decision in your business, like, what should I do for 2026? Do I want to launch? Or, you know, do I want to do an evergreen funnel? Do I want to do a new product? Or like, whatever it is, pick one of those decisions, something that you're a bit stuck on right now, and write it down. You know, maybe it's, should I spend more time on Facebook or start a TikTok channel? You know, do I want to create a course or a membership? Or should I increase the price of my coaching program? Whatever that decision is, write it down. Then underneath that question, write down, what do I need to learn in order to make this decision? So for example, if you were trying to decide if you should spend more of your time on Facebook or you should start a TikTok channel, firstly, you could be, you know, what do you need to decide? It could be, where is your audience? It could be, do you already have an audience and how is that audience reacting to what you are doing? It could be, what do I need to learn to decide if that's worthwhile? Is the effort to make videos for TikTok worth it to me? Like, have a think about what it is that you would need in order to feel confident with answering that question. If it was, should I create a course or start a membership? Then your, you know, what do you need to learn is, well, what do your customers want? What do you want? Like, what do you want to do in your business? It might be a case of learning and discovering what is the best way to give people information. Like, is it a course or is it a membership? So think about what you need to learn to decide whether the thing that you want to do would be better as a course or a membership. And the thing that you might need to learn to decide whether increasing the price of your coaching program is something that you should do, then will people pay the new price might be the thing that you need to learn. So start off with, what is the decision that you're stuck on? Write that down. Then write that question underneath. What do I need to learn to decide this? And then the last thing in this little three-part tiny test is pick a clue that would answer the question that you've written down. So is your audience on Facebook or TikTok? You might do some research into how many other channels there are, how many creators there are, you know, how many Facebook groups there are already on TikTok or Facebook. Are you seeing a gap on TikTok? Are you seeing that there are a lot of people already? That can also be a helpful clue. You know, is it a search of keywords and content volume on those different channels? Like, how much content comes up and what sort of reaction is it getting? So think about a clue that would help you answer that question. You know, something else to consider, because it's not always straight up numbers and data, especially if your question is, you know, what do I need to learn? Is the effort to make videos going to be worth it? You could do a little test. You know, the clue that you might look for is, how do you feel after making a daily video? Or how do you feel after making, say, 7 videos? Like, what is something that you can do, like a little test, to decide if it's going to be worth it as a preliminary? So you don't need to decide the entire thing. You could test something out and then look at how you feel after actually doing it. If it was an issue about price, then, you know, looking at, is it your issue that is pricing? Are you seeing a constant pattern of customer comments? And if it is that you're wanting to put the price up, are you seeing people saying, you know, a pattern of people saying, oh man, this is such a great deal? Are you seeing that there's absolutely no objections, that people are just paying straight away? Are you being constantly told, oh man, your prices are too cheap? Is it that you need to have a clue from getting someone to actually review your content and to review your messaging, maybe your sales page? Maybe the clue is doing some journaling about what you need to do to feel comfortable. There are so many clues. You don't need to get all of them. And what I would suggest is just pick one clue for now. And then once you get the answer to that, maybe pick another clue if you feel that you need a little bit more information. But make sure that it's all being tracked back to that decision that you are trying to make, and that you also link it to, well, what do I need to learn to make this decision? What do I need to know? Because once you think about things from a what do I need to know to make this decision, it's a whole lot less of that just doing stuff on gut feel or vibes or just jumping into it, because you are giving yourself the tools to help you make better decisions. And the more you do it, the quicker and easier that's going to be. Maybe you won't need to be writing things down on a piece of paper. You'll be able to sort of go through that little mental model in your head pretty quickly. But I would love to know how you go with that little tiny test for today. And remember as well, like each tiny test, it's not going to give you the answer. It's not going to solve all of your business problems overnight or suddenly turn everything around. It's a little bit more like you are building a wall of confidence. And each time you do a tiny test and get a little bit more information, you gather clues, you gather evidence, you're putting one brick in that wall of confidence. So the more tests you do, gives you more information, so that you can make better, more confident business decisions. Please do connect with me on Instagram at The Unicorn Advisory, or if you are on Voxer, send me a Voxer and let me know how you went with that tiny test. I am at Unicorn Sue on Voxer. Now, if you are listening to this and thinking, you know what, this sounds pretty cool. I actually really like this concept. I'm done just guessing and throwing spaghetti against the wall in my business. I want to start testing, and I'm probably going to enjoy testing. Well, you may enjoy the 2026 experiment, which is where I am taking this whole testing experimental mindset into real life for a full year of business experiments. Basically, my business is going to become a laboratory for the year, and I'm opening it up for you to see everything. You will get to see what I try and why, what clues that I am paying attention to, how I use the information that I learn. So how do I figure out what to change next, what to do next, what to even test in the first place? And you get to experience that all as it is happening in the moment. Plus, every single experiment that I do will come with a full debrief where I'm going to recap everything, and you can keep that. You can use those debriefs and my insights and use that as clues and inspiration for your own tests and experiments. You can learn more at theunicornadvisory.com/2026. And little heads up, if you join before January the 1st, 2026, you can take advantage of early access and get a very, very sweet discount. Discounts are always awesome. Cost of living, you know, it's a thing. So if you join before the 1st of January, you will get that early access discount, but you are welcome to join at any time through the year if you are listening to this after the 1st of January. I hope you have enjoyed the episode. Listen out for more coming soon, and please do subscribe. I would really, really appreciate it. And let me know the result of your very first tiny test.